Welcome to Zichu Dav Siman Mem Avram Goldhar and today Masechus Beah Dav Chav Zayin, the third parak Ein Tzadin. This is going to be an abbreviated shiur. So the three topics are going to focus on number one. The Gemara brings an incident regarding examining a bechor in Yantav. Amivar Dana was a bechor examiner in the Nasi's house. On Yantav, he would not examine a bechor's blemish. People went and told Rabbi Ami about this, and he said to them that he's acting properly. The Gemara asks if this is so, since Rabbi Ami himself would examine blemishes on Yantav. So why would he praise Ami for being machmir? The Gemara answers, Kichazi me'esmal habichazi. Rabbi Ami would examine blemishes on the previous day, meaning Erev Yantav, without issuing a verdict. And then, on Yantav, he would ask the Bechor's owner how the blemish had occurred. Rashi explains that Kohanim would sometimes inflict a wound on a Bechor because of the great bother and expense involved in taking care of it. Therefore, a Kohen is not believed if he reported that blemish occurred naturally and was required to substantiate his claim with the testimony of a witness. Rabbi Ami was often busy Erev Yantav and only had time to inspect the blemish to determine if it was permanent. On Yantav, he would investigate how the blemish occurred and then pronounce the Bechor blemished. Pointing to the grass, from where is it known that it's prohibited to cause a mum to be inflicted on the Bechor? For it was taught in Brisa, the Pasuk states, mum lo yebo, a blemish shall not be in it. Now, I only know that one may not inflict a mum. From where do I know that one may not indirectly cause a mum to be inflicted? For example, that one may not bring dough or press figs and place it on the ear of a bechor so that a dog will come and take it, injuring the ear in the process. The pasuk therefore teaches kol mum, any blemish, to add this restriction. It says mum, blemish, to restrict the deliberate infliction of a mum, and it says kol mum, any mum, to teach an additional restriction against causing a mum, even indirectly. And pointing me through, the last mission on the daf states, people may not be counted initially into a group to purchase the meat of an animal on Yantav. But they may be counted into a group prior to Yantav to purchase an animal, or they may shech the animal and apportion it among themselves. The Gemara asks what the mission means by enimnim, people may not be counted, and reviewed a set in the name of Shmuel, imposing damim l'chadchila b'hem b'yantav, that we may not initially fix a price for an animal on Yantav. The Mishnah stated that even when no arrangements have been made prior to Yantav, an animal may be selected, shechted, and divided on Yantav if all the financial arrangements are left for after Yantav. The Gemara asks how they ascertain the price of the already shechted and distributed animal, and Rav answers, maybe shtei behemos umamidan zo etzel zo, v'omer zo kazo. Before shechting on Yantav, the butcher brings two comparable animals and places them one beside the other and tells members of the group to observe that this animal is like that one in value. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Gemara brings an incident regarding examining a bechor on Yantav. Amivar Dana was a bechor examiner in the Nasi's house. On Yantav, he would not examine a bechor's blemish. People went and told Rabbi Ami about this, and he said to them that he's acting properly. The Gemara asked if this is so, since Rabbi Ami himself would examine blemishes on Yantav. So why would he praise Ami for being machmir? The Gemara answers, Kichaze me'esmo havichaze. Rabbi Ami would examine blemishes on the previous day, Erev Yantav, without issuing a verdict. And then, on Yantav, he would ask the Bechor's owner how the blemish had occurred. Rashi explains that Kohanim would sometimes inflict a wound on a Bechor because of the great bother and expense involved in taking care of it. Therefore, a Kohen is not believed if he reported that a blemish occurred naturally and was required to substantiate his claim with the testimony of a witness. Rabbi Ami was often busy Erev Yantav and only had time to inspect the blemish to determine if it was permanent. On Yantav, he would investigate how the blemish occurred and then pronounce the Bechor blemished. Pointing to the Gemara, from where is it known that it's prohibited to cause a mum to be inflicted on a Bechor? For it was taught in a Braisa, the Pasuk states, mum lo yebo, a blemish shall not be in it. Now, I only know that one may not inflict a mum. From where do I know that one may not indirectly cause a mum to be inflicted? For example, that one may not bring dough or pressed figs and place it on the ear of a Bechor so that the dog will come and take it, injuring the ear in the process. The pasuk therefore teaches kol mum, any blemish, to add this restriction. It says mum, blemish, to restrict the deliberate infliction of a mum. And it says kol mum, any mum, to teach an additional restriction against causing a mum, even indirectly. And pointing me through, the last mission on the daf states, enimnim al behemo l'chadchil b'yantav. People may not be counted initially into a group to purchase the meat of an animal on Yantav, avo nimnim aleha me'erv Yantav, v'shochatim l'chalkim b'nem, but they may be counted into a group prior to Yantav to purchase an animal, or they may shech the animal and apportion it among themselves. The Gemara asks what the Mishnah means by ein nimnim, people may not be counted, and reviewed a set in the name of Shmuel, ein posking damim l'chachila al behem b'yantav, that we may not initially fix a price for an animal on Yantav The Mishnah stated that even when no arrangements have been made prior to Yontif, an animal may be selected, shechted, and divided in Yontif if all the financial arrangements are left for after Yontif. The Gemara asks how they ascertain the price of the already shechted and distributed animal, and Rav answers, maybe shtei behemos umamidan zo etzo zo, but omer zo kazo. Before shechting on Yontif, the butcher brings two comparable animals and places them one beside the other and tells members of the group to observe that this animal is like that one in value. All right, so now we go to our Simber Daf Chav Zayin, and our standard simon is a kazoo. A kazoo, it's the toy musical instrument children blow into that makes a buzzing sound. So here goes. The Rav suspiciously questioned the Kohen on Yontif on how his Bechor happened to develop a natural blemish on his ear that looked like an indentation of a kazoo, and why fig remnants were on the other blemished ear, while his group of Talmudim went to get an animal to be shechted and divided on Yontif. So once again, in slow motion, the Rav suspiciously questioned the Kohen on Yontif on how his Bechor happened to develop a natural blemish on his ear that looked like an indentation of a kazoo. A kazoo? That must be one Daf Chav Zayin. The Rav suspiciously questioned the Kohen on Yontif on how his Bechor happened to develop a natural blemish on his ear that looked like an indentation of a kazoo, which reminds us that Rabbi Ami would examine blemishes the heir of Yontif without issuing a verdict. And then on Yontif, he would ask the Bechor's owner how the blemish had occurred. Rashi explains that Kohanim would sometimes inflict a wound on a Bechor because of the great bother and expense involved in taking care of it. Therefore, our Kohen is not believed if we report that a blemish occurred naturally and was required to substantiate his claim with the testimony of a witness. Rabbi Ami was often busy on Yontif and only had time to inspect the blemish to determine if it was permanent. On Yontif, he would investigate how the blemish occurred and then pronounce the Bechor blemished. So the Rav suspiciously questioned the Kohen on Yontif on how his Bechor happened to develop a natural blemish on his ear that looked like an indentation of a kazoo, and why fig remnants were on the other blemished ear. Which reminds us, it's prohibited to cause a mum to be inflicted on the Bechor, for the Pasuk states, mum lo yebo, a blemish shall not be in it. Now, I only know that one may not inflict a mum, but where do I know that one may not indirectly cause a mum to be inflicted? For example, that one may not bring dough or press figs and place it on the ear of Bechor so that a dog will come and take it, injuring the ear in the process. The Pasuk therefore teaches kol mum, any blemish, to add this restriction. It says mum, blemish, to restrict the deliberate infliction of a mum, and it says kol mum, any mum, to teach an additional restriction against causing a mum, even indirectly. So the Rav suspiciously questioned the Kohen on Yontif on how his Bechor happened to develop a natural blemish on his ear that looked like an indentation of a kazoo, and why fig remnants were on the other blemished ear, while his group of Talmudim went to get an animal to be shechted and divided on Yontif. Which reminds us, the Mishnah says that even when no arrangements have been made prior to Yontif, an animal may be selected, shechted, and divided on Yontif if all the financial arrangements are left for after Yontif. They ask how they ascertain the price of the already shechted and distributed animal, and Rav answers, maybe shtei behemos umamidin zo etzo zo, vomer zo kazo. Before shechting on Yontif, the butcher brings two comparable animals and places them one beside the other and tells members of the group to observe that this animal is like that one in value. So once again, the Rav suspiciously questioned the Kohen on Yontif on how his Bechor happened to develop a natural blemish on his ear that looked like an indentation of a kazoo, and why fig remnants were on the other blemished ear, while his group of Talmudim went to get an animal to be shechted and divided on Yontif. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichur wishing you a great day and great learning.